What's up, Colonel Nation? Welcome in to another episode of the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast. I'm your host, Wes Chandler, presented by UK Sports Medicine, our podcast powered by the great folks at UK Sports Medicine. Joining us today on the episode is newly minted head men's and women's tennis coach, Tom Boyson. Tom, we appreciate your time. And I know this is the pinnacle of your career, just being on this podcast. This is where your career is ultimately lined up.
It all goes downhill after this. It does. It really does.
Well, you were hired about a month ago here to EKU. You're one of the newest faces to Colonel Nation. What's been your initial impressions of EKU so far?
Yeah, I think that started on my interview process. I'm not sure how many times tennis coaches have face-to-face time with the president of the university as part of the interview, let alone the first thing they do. So that was great. I think what I noticed throughout those 2 days was how invested the athletic department is, and really all the way up to the top to the president of every sport, including tennis, and just what the drive was there, what the initiative was there, kind of lined up with I'm a competitive person, so hearing how competitive they were and what was being put forth to put a winning product on the field or the courts, it just was music to my ears, and I kind of left the interview knowing that I wanted the job more than when I came, which was a good feeling. And then you go through that the stress of not knowing what's going to happen, but worked out great, and everything that's happened in the 3 or 4 weeks I've been on campus could just solidify that. I think everybody's unified on board. From the whole athletic staff and the administration, couldn't feel more welcome and couldn't feel more like they're ready for us to hit the ground running.
Are you settled into Richmond, or are you still living out of boxes?
No, two boxes left to go. I'm in someplace. My dog is happy.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And since I've left two boxes just so I could answer that question and say I'm not fully moved in. Yeah, almost done.
Well, you're used to living out of suitcase and living out of boxes now.
Yeah. It feels like every spring. Mm-hmm.
Originally, you're Florida native, correct?
Born in Michigan, but from 10 years old to 10 to 30, a Florida person. So yes, I'd be the best, safest way to go to say Floridian at this point.
Does Florida ever leave you? Because I feel like if you're from Florida, you get all that warm weather, the beaches, everything. Everybody gets, the Florida vibe. Does that ever really truly leave you?
No, and I did a good job. I left my parents and my brother there, so I've got people to go visit and a place to stay. And so no, exactly, you're right.
We'll get into more of your background here in a little bit, but you played collegiately at Central Florida, correct?
I did, yes.
Yeah. And now you are into coaching. What made you fall in love with tennis?
Yeah, as a kid, I guess now would be considered really late. At that time, it was a little late to pick up tennis at 11 or 12. I was a big team sport person, played just about everything I could, almost by accident. I got set up to challenged by a girl in middle school, and set up and thought we were two people that had never played tennis and just trying to prove that I was better than she was. And she was one of the state champions that year. And so I got humiliated in front of a bunch of friends and vowed that I would never, I would play tennis until I could beat her. So it was first time playing an individual sport, kind of fell in love with that. Ended up, getting college paid for or mostly paid for through that. The rest I didn't plan on, but kind of fell into a coaching position right out of college to fill some time and quickly realized that was what I was most passionate about and tried to align myself with some good people and get a career started.
That's a terrific story. What would that be, your earliest tennis memory, you think?
For sure, because it's dwarfs any other memory I have before that because of how embarrassing it was and how meaningful it was. So yes, for sure.
A little bit of humility in there.
And now everyone knows. So, yeah. Good.
And now the whole world knows. At the collegiate level, you've had some stops. You've been at Vanderbilt, Dartmouth, Nebraska, North Dakota most recently. What did you learn at those stops that has helped made you the coach you are today?
Yeah, I think it starts with the three head coaches I worked for were and are great coaches, well respected in the industry. They had a lot of success before bringing me on as assistant, and that continued. And I think for me, the biggest things I learned was how to manage a team, how to manage a group of players versus an individual. That's what I was used to doing before. The dynamics of different personalities and not being a cookie cutter coach, but trying to form relationships with the student athletes that fit them under the umbrella of there are some team concepts that go. But the biggest thing I got from them was the ownership. I feel like every head coach I work for really cared about giving me some ownership in the program to make me feel like I had some say in what was going on. And that probably was the reason I felt after, and I loved being an assistant, but after a while I felt confident that I could at least try to be a head coach because I'd been mentored by so many positive and successful coaches. And then at UND, my first try at being a head coach, it really goes back to I had a great assistant who had been there before. He'd been the assistant before I got the job, and the administration was great. They were fully invested in tennis being successful, everything from budget to fan support to meetings to everything was in place there before I got there to kind of have success.
Now, prior to coming to EK, you did mention that you spent the last five seasons at the University of North Dakota, and it's kind of been a whirlwind for you over the last month plus. Right. Nobody that knows may not have heard, but just about a month plus ago, they announced that they are eliminating their program due to financial restrictions. So what, and then now here, flash forward about 35, 40 days later, you're the head coach at EKU. So what has this last month plus been like for you personally?
Yeah. And devastatingly sad at first. We were 4 days coming off the end of our season, so there wasn't a lot of downtime before finding out that news. Good thing for me was I got to deflect a little bit and concentrate on the student athletes, trying to help them navigate the transfer portal and the ones that didn't graduate anyway, and try to help their parents and kind of, you know, assure them that there's something down the road. This isn't the end of college tennis for you. And then after that, I knew that I wanted to stay in college tennis, and that just solidified that whole what happened made that even more apparent to me. And so I did everything I could to look at what was open and see what was a good fit for me, and then try to make sure that I could at least separate student athlete terms, not take a gap year, but try to find something for this year. And so luckily, fortunately, it was a very similar situation, men's and women's team for the same coaching staff, which is what it was at UND. And it was pretty immediate that a few days later I was on campus interviewing here. And so the 4 weeks of not knowing, you know, that's just, it is what happens. I mean, you get used to that, but it was, I knew when I left the interview that I wanted the position here. I kind of fell in love with the school and everything it represents, and so was happy to get the call. And then it's just a whirlwind, like you said. Then it's just excited and happy, and then kind of the everything that goes in with leaving one place and moving to another place. But it's been fast. It's been a quick transition, but that's how I wanted it.
So you didn't even know until after the season had finished, right?
Correct. Yeah, it
was. That's got to be really
hard. 4 days after, and you know, and in retrospect, I think that was probably good, you know, probably for the student athletes and for me to kind of let us finish our season. We had a pretty successful run with both teams last year. And so I think it was a good decision to not have anything cloud our concentration at that point.
Yeah. Talk us through a little bit about last year, because you look back, and especially on the men's side, very successful year last year for you, going all the way to the Summit League Championship for the first time in school history.
The men had been back. They did back-to-back finals. So it was the first time in the history of the school to do that. The women had been one time before last year, but it was the first time both teams made the conference finals in the same year. And so, everything kind of hit right. Had a lot of senior leadership, had a lot of guys that played a lot of college tennis and females that had played a lot of college tennis. A lot of 4-3 matches. I mean, most tennis seasons are going to fall one way or the other based on how you do in those 50-50 matches. And we had a really good group of student athletes that played great under pressure. And so a lot of things broke our way at the end of some very, very close matches. But yeah, exciting. Saw some at least 3 or 4 people have the best years tennis-wise of their college careers in that 1 year together. And that's kind of what happened.
Very cool. Well, now here at EKU, one of the main responsibilities of a new coach, especially in the early stages like you're in right now, is roster construction and putting together the team that you want. How is that going so far? And what talent have you been able to land so far to that excites you about both the men's and women's side?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, transfer portal happens and people have to take care of themselves. And so, yeah, finding out that there's nobody on the men's roster and two returning females leaves a lot to be done in a short period of time. And so, you know, hitting the road isn't going to happen as much as it would when you have a full calendar year. So it's a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, a lot of checking the transfer portal online. But what I've learned is I'm excited about everywhere you can recruit at EKU. There's a ton of talent in the Southeast. I mean, Chicago's pretty close. Cincinnati's close. I'm excited to get on the road around here and just, you know, recruit everybody, you know, the Americans, the people from around here, the international students. But I think everything is in play here, which isn't the case at some places, but I'm excited. We've already landed some commits with a lot of college experience, but from all over, and a lot of traction for 2027, which is probably what I'm most excited about, is just finding out how many inroads we already have for men and women to come and be interested in fall of 27. So I think the possibilities are really kind of endless with where we can recruit, what base we have.
A lot of fans hear a lot about, and it's just because it's more at the forefront, I guess, about recruiting and transfer portals in football and basketball. How is it similar? How is it different for you in tennis navigating that?
I think it's grown more similar. I think 5 or 10 years ago, I would have said it's not too similar to football and basketball, especially. It's gotten closer. I think social media has kind of played a little bit into that. I mean, you just see every day the number of people transferring. It seems like almost like the path that makes the most sense is to get a little better, see where you can go. And I do appreciate, you know, that people want to, you know, grow and get to someplace maybe that was their dream school before. I think what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years is some of the rule changes where you can transfer multiple times or it becomes a little easier. I think there used to be a lot of growth. Maybe I didn't start my first year in tennis, but then I worked my way in. And now that the transfer portal has opened up, bringing people into the transfer portal, not just losing. A lot of times they almost get stuck not being in the lineup and feel like that's their one way out is to maybe hit the transfer portal. So it's become a lot more, I think trying to pretend that it isn't a factor in recruiting in tennis isn't going to work anymore. I think you've got to embrace it and just hope you retain as many, do a good job. I think you're recruiting your own athletes at this point every year. And so you're trying to retain them. And then also, Neil, that you're probably going to have to dip into the transfer portal at times too.
Yeah, retention plays a very big key too.
Of course. Well. Yeah, for sure.
Visiting with head men's and women's tennis coach here, Tom Boyson, on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast, presented by UK Sports Medicine. And Tom, we talked a little bit about your journey and what led you to EKU, but before you got into college coaching, you also spent some time on the ATP tour a little bit. Tell us about that.
Not as a player, so that everyone understands that before I get phone calls tonight, right? Right place at the right time. I had coached a lot of juniors, some juniors that was their goal, was to kind of, you know, after or before college, to people that don't know much about tennis, it'd be like minor league baseball. I mean, you're not on TV at that point. You're trying to get enough points, get enough money, get enough ranking points to get to that spot. But it's like the minor leagues. And had a couple players who I thought were ready to do that, but really met a couple coaches who had players that were ready to take a traveling coach on the road. They couldn't travel themselves as coaches. And so really 4 or 5 core gentlemen that two had graduated from Stanford and the other two had started college but not finished, and really hit the road and kind of it was a learning process for me. I'd never been out of the country at that point, and all of a sudden I was in 40 countries in 4 years. And so it was kind of fast and furious, but I got to see tennis and experience tennis at a level that I really hadn't coached at before. A lot, I think, of what I take into a team practice on the college courts comes from things I learned from watching and observing and kind of growing as a coach there. But an experience I wouldn't trade for anything, because I got to see the world and kind of see tennis at that level.
Of all those countries you visited, did you have a favorite?
So from a success standpoint, Japan, for some reason, my players did well every time we went there. And then I grew to kind of love the country too. They were phenomenal people. We were treated great. But Japan, I mean, in a 4-year period, I think we hit Japan 7 or 8 times. So that became a favorite. And then I'm kind of a sucker for the Switzerland, Sweden, Norway, kind of that kind of thing too. So those are probably my favorites.
Very cool. How have you seen tennis grow and develop from your time as a player at Central Florida to where you sit right now today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that strikes me, or probably anybody that saw tennis back then and it comes now, is the physicality of the sport. It's the cross training it was almost irrelevant when I was a player. It was just tennis. Now it's a vital part of it. I think the physical ability that it takes to succeed, even at a D1 college level, is just head and shoulders above what it used to be. other aspects, bringing in sports psychology, bringing in nutritionists, bringing in more strength coaches, on-court conditioning, off-court conditioning, sleep studies. I think everything, it's tennis has kind of embraced the whole package and everything that's under the umbrella of sport performance in a way that they didn't used to do. And that goes hand in hand. Racket technology has is grown. And so I think that all plays into what it takes to be on the court. But I'd say that physicality is just off the charts compared to what it was 20 years ago.
As a tennis player, where do you stand on pickleball?
So I'll answer two ways. So I haven't met any of my players yet who are in the middle. It usually divides them. They either feel like it's not fair to compare the two sports and they get a little bit offended, or they see it as that's what I'm going to do when I'm too old to make money playing tennis. That's how I'm going to make money. I'm kind of right in the middle, but I say that because I'm just starting to play a little bit. Yeah. And if I, truth be told, the more I kind of tinker around with it, the more I kind of like it. Yeah. So I'm kind of falling into the category of kind of embracing it, but I would never have predicted that it would get this big back.
Oh yeah. It's really growing. So last year, in, I was trying to do my research, and if my research is correct, last year at North Dakota, you wind up playing EKU on the men's side, correct?
We did.
What do you remember, if anything, about EKU as an opposing team?
It was a neutral site match. And so we played it in Louisville at Bellarmine University. Gritty team. I felt like it was I believe a 3 or 4 court facility. So the match was a long match to get everybody. I just remember that well coached. Everybody on the court seemed to be bought into to fighting, to be gritty. Nothing came easy. And a lot of looked like, if I guessed how the recruiting went, it was getting good athletes in that hadn't reached their potential and that were pretty loved to compete, which I think is a big thing in the recruiting process anyway. So yeah, good competitors and pretty tough.
How do you juggle, or is it much of a juggle for you to be on both sides, the men's and the women's side? How do you balance those evenly, and how big of a task is that for you?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to how is it important as you as a coach of both teams that the teams get along, that the teams feel like the time is spent fairly. And so that's the first thing that, back to UND days, what I knew I was coaching both teams was to go overboard to make sure they knew that we were the coaches of both teams, that it wasn't going to be, well, whoever's more successful is going to be this coach, or that gets the time they predict. So I think just kind of making sure the teams trust that you've got both teams' best interests at heart, both teams get, the same amount of respect from the coaches and the time from the coaches. And then learning that it's very important for them to be two different teams too. So I think combining it to where it's one unified team isn't exactly what they want either. They want to have a different schedule. They want to do things a little bit differently. And so I think just getting the trust that you're invested in both.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of some of the background around this program, starting back in 2022 after a 3-year layoff where there was no competition for EKU. What is the next step for EKU tennis on both sides?
Yeah, I think, and your conference alignment was something that was going on right as I was getting the job, or at least on the men's side, kind of figure out, what are we doing with the conference schedule? What are the two divisions going to look like? And so, I think first and foremost, being competitive in the conference, competing to win conference titles. I think that's probably one of the top goals. I'd say, looking at the history, I think, we can say let's win a round in the conference tournament. Let's make that tournament. Let's win a round. Let's win 2 rounds. So we can get what that feels like to progress at one of those tournaments and not have, and it is a big deal to make a conference tournament, but not have that be the end goal. But let's see if we can go a little further. I think, national exposure, getting an All-American, which would lead to recruiting, some strongholds with recruiting. If you can get an All-American team, I think getting a team ranked, pop in the rankings, compete, win some matches at a tournament like the All-American tournament in the fall, but kind of just a little bit of national exposure. But I think it all comes back to the fact, do well in the conference, compete for conference titles, and pop in and win once in a while. And that's for sure doable here. Mm-hmm. I think the recruiting base and what the school is putting behind tennis, I think that's very, very attainable.
What are the traits you look for when you go out and recruit a student athlete?
Yeah, I think everybody wants good players. We want the level of the recruit to be good, and we want to feel like there's room to get better. I think that's the name of the game, is recruit good players and then develop into better players. That's easier said than done. I think, you know, for me, and it's a learning process, I probably have a little bit different philosophy than I did 5 years ago when I was a first-time head coach. But I think, number one, if we took out level of play, I want somebody that, one, loves tennis, loves the sport of tennis, and two, loves competing. And they're different. I think, you know, a lot of people love tennis but get a little bit too nervous or a little bit don't want to risk anything by putting out that. I think, you know, what helps me as a coach is somebody that loves the sport but also really likes to compete. And then that's kind of a core of who they are. Beyond that, I think it, you know, helps to start with a really good athlete. I think it's probably the next thing I would look for. It's a tough enough sport anyway. I think if you go in thinking that athletic ability is going to be a little bit of a minus, it's hard. So, yeah. You know, athletic ability and then, you know, after that, I think a fit. It's really important. I think somebody that wants to be at EKU, somebody that wants to be at a school like this, and comes in and wants to buy into the coach's culture and be a good teammate and take tennis, which is usually an individual sport, up until the age of 18, yeah. and embrace the fact that now you've got teammates and now not everything's going to be centered on you. But sometimes that's awesome, that it's not always about you. It takes a little pressure off. The world is a little bigger. I think those traits really come to mind.
How do you emphasize to your student athletes the battle of individual, but it's also for a team? Is it separate? Is it the same?
Yeah, I think you have to almost start with the fact in recruiting that they are going to get some individual attention, that individual development is important to the coaching staff, that they are going to get some one-on-one time, that they're going to have goal sessions where it's their goal, their plan. I think it's hard to approach it without that first. It's just they're a little skeptical because of how tennis has been for them. And so I think once that's established and they feel like their individual goals and needs are met, most often I find that they embrace the team concept. It's something they end up wishing would have been a little more prevalent in the junior circuit. There's not everything comes down to them. They have teammates cheering for them. They have, the road trips become much more fun. It's not just you and your parents, you know, alone in a hotel room. I mean, and so I've found that most athletes kind of crave the team thing. You just got to talk them into that there's more benefits than downside in the beginning.
With your experience and your years involved in this sport, what keeps you passionate about coaching in tennis?
Relationships, one. It's a great, I think that 18 to 22 year old age group is just a fun time to be around. They're learning what they're going to do for the rest of their lives, whether they hope it's tennis or not. But they've also done enough to where they come with a pretty good base. And so you're not starting from scratch, but you're getting them at a part of their lives that's pretty exciting. I think, you know, mentorship and that kind of thing is what keeps me, you know, wanting to be a college coach. And then some of the most exciting things for me are getting invited to weddings 5 or 10 years down the road, or announcements that they're having their first child or something like that. So relationships first, and then I'm competitive. And so I don't pretend that the coaches affect more than 5 or 10% of the match. In fact, that's probably generous at some point, but being court level for the adrenaline, for the emotion, whether that emotion is good or bad is for somebody as competitive as me. I mean, the adrenaline rush is, I would struggle if that wasn't part of my life. And then identities. I love finding, you know, this works for two people. These two people don't want tactics. They want strategy during a match, or they want technique during a match, or they just want emotional support. So I think the differences among players keeps it interesting. Yeah.
When you look at, there's still some work to be done too before next year starts. What excites you the most about this upcoming season? On both sides.
I think in general, for both sides together, one of the biggest challenges first getting the job is you got to hire an assistant coach. And so I got lucky. There were a lot of qualified people, but pretty quickly in the process, I found the person that I think it was the absolute right fit. And so I didn't have to go more than about 2 weeks trying to do the recruiting or trying to set a culture without him being here. And so I'm really happy to have him here. I think he's going to be great. He's been a head coach before over both teams. So he's done everything he's had to do here. He's already done it and been successful. So that was probably the first thing to be excited about is getting somebody else on board, because it's a two person project. There's no way this can be done successfully without really two people that can kind of act as a head coach. And so I'm really happy that got taken care of. And then it's just a chance to start, you know, our own culture. And that's probably the best thing. The thing I'm most excited about is we get to come in, start with some student athletes that haven't you know, they're new with us. So we can kind of set some ground rules, set some team goals, set some, how's the culture going to be? And that's exciting. I think starting over, I wouldn't want to start over every year. I like the idea of building something and then sustaining it. But it is fun to think about, what hasn't been done here before. What can we start? What can some different goals be? How can these players walk on campus, and then how can we accelerate those things to happen?
What's Tom Boyson like outside of tennis?
I'm boring to most people. So you know, I'm a little bit of a homebody later in life. So I want to get out and experience Richmond, but my dog, you know, probably people will tell you that I've got 500 pictures on my phone and 450 of my dogs. So that probably tells you a little bit right there. I really like to get to know the community that I'm in. So whether that's, you know, going on some hikes or local restaurants or something like that, I think that's what I'm most excited about off the court here, is just getting to know Richmond. Dog watching sports. I'm a sports judge, so I will probably be it. The best news I got getting the job was that I get 2 tickets to every sport here. So I'll be there. I'll be in the stands. That's an important part of my life. And so I was an EKU fan of every sport about 2 seconds after getting the job.
Dog by your side at all these events.
If he could be, yeah, he would be.
Yeah. What type of dog is it?
He is a 14-year-old black lab. Okay. So he's getting up there, but loves life, and he's happier here.
What do you hope that every student athlete, when their time at EKU comes to a conclusion, what do you hope every student athlete walks away with from your program and your impact?
Yeah, great question. I hope they would feel that the coaches had their best interest at heart, that this was about building them in 3 ways: making them a better tennis player, because that's probably what they initially thought they were coming here for, along with academics. 2, making sure they're set up for life because of what they did in the classroom here, and set to have good opportunities and a good life. And 3, that they had enough social experience here that they look back on their time here and don't think of themselves as just a tennis player. But no, that's where I had some of the best years of my life. If I could have another year or two, I would gladly take it. It goes kind of fast, but just that they feel like they grew as a person as much as they did as a player, and that the coaches emphasized that. That'd probably be the best thing anybody could say.
Well, Tom, it's been great visiting with you. Looking forward to this upcoming season on both sides, and certainly glad to have you at EK Maroon.
Appreciate it. Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. That is Tom Boyson, the head men's and women's tennis coach here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast, presented by UK Sports Medicine. Great conversation with Tom. We'll have plenty more coming ahead in the upcoming seasons. So stay with us until next time. Thanks for Kicking It with the Colonels.